SBS Radio.
Kasama ko ngayon mula Estados Unidos ang direktor at documentarian ng Call Her Ganda, si PJ Raval. Kumusta, PJ?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time. I know you've been very busy this past few months with the premiere of Call Her Ganda.
Thank you. Yes, it's been quite a exciting whirlwind.
And congratulations. You've just been to the Tribeca Film Festival, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. We premiered the film at Tribeca. And since then, we've also screened it in Toronto for Hot Docs. And we were in New Zealand for Doc Edge. And we've actually won two awards so far, which has been great. We won the Best Documentary Audience Award at the Inside Out Festival in Toronto. And then we also were awarded the Grand Jury Award for Outstanding North American Documentary at the Los Angeles Asian American Pacific Film Festival.
It's a bit tricky because you grew up and you're based in America, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
How did the story catch your interest?
Early December of 2014, I was fortunate enough to be invited by filmmaker and film scholar Nick De Ocampo to travel to Manila to screen several of my documentaries at a film festival that he was running called PINK, International LGBT Film Festival. And for me, I thought this was going to be a great opportunity to, go to the Philippines and kind of explore it on my own. You know, my parents were born and raised there. I was born and raised in the United States, so I'm Filipino-American. And, I've always been looking for an opportunity to be able to go back to the Philippines kind of on my own terms. So I thought this was going to be a great opportunity. And when I got there, it was soon after the crime had just been committed. And, soon after the crime was committed, you know, I kind of discovered an LGBTQ community that was really outraged over the fact that, Private First Class Joseph Scott Pemberton was not in Philippine custody because he was the leading suspect of the person who potentially killed Jennifer Laude at the time. Yet authorities were unable to detain him because of the visiting forces agreement. And while I was there, it also coincided with the first Quezon City Pride celebration. So if you can imagine, it was a really interesting kind of spectrum to witness. Like on one hand, you had, everyone out on the street celebrating, being proud of being LGBT. But then at the same time, you were having these speeches and protests because of the death of Jennifer Laude. So, I took all of that in, and it really kind of struck me. And while I was there, I ended up on a panel for LGBT rights, and I just happened to be on the panel with attorney Virginia Suarez, who is one of the prosecuting attorneys representing the Laude family in the case. And that's probably where I first really sat down and paid more close attention to, the crime and the case that was starting to form. And while I was on that panel, coincidentally, someone, funny enough, suggested that I make this into a documentary. And at first, I was a little hesitant because, I am born and raised in the United States, and I thought to myself, well, maybe this would be, an opportunity for someone who is on the ground, maybe someone, born and raised in the Philippines, maybe a trans activist, maybe not necessarily me. But as the panel continued on, and as, afterwards I went to lunch with Virgie and several of the trans activists, and it became clear to me that maybe me being Filipino-American, and being able to understand Philippine culture from, my own upbringing, but also being born and raised in the United States, understanding the lack of education and the lack of awareness of the Philippines from the U.S. perspective, that maybe I would be a good person to actually make this documentary. Also, just being able to use my resources in the United States. And maybe most importantly, if I was going to end up being critical of the United States government and its policies overseas, that maybe that actually would hold a lot of weight, you know, me being an American citizen. So I went back to the United States and I really thought about it, and I consulted with, you know, several friends, and one of them made the point that, you know, this was something that I should do. Also, just because it might be something that someone in the Philippines might not be able to do. And, you know, and maybe that this could be my contribution to, you know, to helping the family seek some sort of justice in this case.
You did kind of mention somewhere that you were raised in a conservative community.
I grew up in Central California, and in that area, you know, it's fairly conservative, you know, largely white. I didn't really grow up alongside other Filipinos. You know, I was probably one of two families in that whole town. So I definitely grew up feeling a little bit as an outsider.
So did you have this sense of connection straight away when you started doing the film? Or was this something that you felt that you were in unfamiliar territory?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I grew up still, you know, with a lot of family, you know. I had a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles. So, you know, when the family gets together, you definitely get a sense of how important the family is and how kind of, you know, close and familial everyone is with one another in terms of Filipino culture. But I think what I had not completely explored yet was the LGBTQ community. And so when I got to Manila and I was there for the festival and experiencing the Pride celebrations and everything, that was kind of my introduction. And to be quite honest, I realized how it made a lot of sense to me that the Philippines has a very vibrant and strong LGBTQ community. And I think the more that I kind of researched it and, you know, looked back, and it's something that I do talk about in the film, is that there is a long history of individuals in the Philippines that, you know, could be considered, you know, trans or queer. And I think it is something that's very prevalent in the community and very visible and very accepted. So, so that was a really pleasant kind of surprise.
Growing up in the Philippines, I only knew that you were either gay or straight. So all these other identities have just been coming out recently, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think even the concept of saying a transgender individual is fairly new to the Philippines. You know, clearly there's been individuals that have existed throughout time, but I think the term as some, you know, claiming it as an identity and maybe even as a political identity, I think that's something that's fairly new from what I gathered. And I think, you know, part of the reason why Jennifer Laude and, you know, her story is so important is because, as one of the subjects in my film, Naomi Fontano, says, she says this is really one of the first times that the general audience were seeing trans individuals and understanding who they were.
Yes,
and
because
they don't consider themselves gay individuals, right?
Yeah.
They consider themselves trans individuals.
Because it's a relatively new identity, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't there before, but it's just her story gave a name to it, didn't it?
Exactly. So that's why I think Naomi says that, you know, this case is a watershed moment for the trans community, because now people are seeing this community and understanding how they are different and they have different needs in the community.
What is it about yourself that you discovered while doing this film, yourself and being Filipino?
You know, I grew up knowing that I already knew very little about my culture. outside of just what I was learning from being around my family. But I think I was really shocked to find out how much history had been left out from my education, being born and raised in the United States. The Philippines is not covered in world history, American history. It's a short paragraph in the history book. It's mostly brought up, in the United States, we're brought up to think that the Philippines was rescued by the United States. We don't learn that it was actually purchased by, the United States from Spain. We really don't learn anything about the Philippine-American War and, the many Filipinos that were killed, during that time period. We're taught more that the Americans saved the Philippines during World War II from Japan. I mean, these are the things that, I was learning just by making this documentary. So that was something I was completely unaware of.
What is it that you learned about relationships, familiar, community?
At the end of the day, realistically, this story is about a mother who lost her child, a mother whose child, whose life was taken away from her. And I think that's something that I think everyone can, everyone can relate to that, and that can resonate with everyone. But if we are thinking about it from, a political standpoint or for a more symbolic standpoint, it's also a mother who's saying that about her trans child, right? And I think that's amazing, right? That Nanai doesn't waver at all. She even says from day one, she understood that, Jennifer was a girl, and that Jennifer's, a woman, and that she wholeheartedly accepted her as such. And I think there's something there about her unconditional love that is really amazing and strong and just really shows you, a side of Filipino women and how, strong they are. Because, essentially she, alongside with, Virgie, who's also a woman, and several of the trans activists, we have basically a group of strong-willed women and trans women who are taking on, the United States government. So, in terms of relationships, what I've learned is the Philippines is a country of very strong women, strong-willed women, which is really amazing.
Something you would have seen in your mom, I take it.
Absolutely. And I have seen that, I think, in a lot of families that, oftentimes it's the women in the family who are, leading the family. And here's the case where you had, women leading this movement.
Thank you very much, PJ Raval. Call her Ganda, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.